one of the programs, he mentioned this incident. I couldn't get the words that this person had, the words that he had used to make salam to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the asatiza sent it to me, and also one of the students showed it to me in this kitab. We read this incident from the kitab. Hazrat Muhammad Qutbi rahmatullah alayhi reads, as I entered Medina Munawwara and presented myself before the Roza-e Aqdas of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subsequently, I seen a Burija arrive. He seated his camel at the door of the masjid and he presented himself at the Roza-e Aqdas of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He offered his salam with utmost humility and love, and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a beautiful way. He made dua to Allah ta'ala. He then said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Indeed, Allah ta'ala had divinely selected you as his final messenger and revealed wahi to you. So he revealed to you such a unique book, referring to the Quran Sharif, that encompasses the knowledge of the former and the latter Anbiya and Rasuls alayhim as-salam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran Sharif, and his word is the truth. And then he recited this ayat-e-kareema, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما. If they, meaning the servants of Allah Ta'ala, after wronging themselves, sometimes a person feels that I have so many gunas, I'm going to go and present myself there in the Roza Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is one of the reasons we go to Baytullah. That's one of the reasons we go to the Roza Mubarak. We want to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. We want to ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make sifarish for us. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that if they, after wronging themselves, had come to you, meaning they had come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they begged Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and the messenger also sought forgiveness on their behalf, they would have surely found Allah Ta'ala most forgiving, most merciful. The villager then said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have come to your Roza Mubarak in compliance with the verse of Allah Ta'ala. I admit that I have wronged myself by committing excessive sins, and I beg you to intercede on my behalf before Allah Ta'ala. He then turned to the Roza Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he poured out his heart, reciting the following couplets. He said, Ya khayra man dufinat bilqani a'azamu a'azumuhu فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم نفس الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم أنت النبي الذي ترجى شفاعته عند الصراط إذا ما زلت القدم. Some people say, أنت الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته على الصراط ما زلت القدم. And in this kitab is written like this, أنت النبي الذي ترجى شفاعته عند الصراط إذا ما زلت القدم. So he made this salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's the meaning of this? He said, oh, the greatest from all those who are buried beneath the earth. From the splendid fragrance emitting from your Mubarak limbs, the mountains and the plains become fragrance. May my life be sacrificed for that grave wherein you are residing. In it is buried the embodiment of purity, nobility and generosity. You are that Nabi whose intercession is hoped for at the critical moment when the feet will slip on the bridge over Jahannam. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they asked Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, where will we find you? Did this thought even cross our minds? The person is traveling somewhere, he got some family there, he wants the phone number, he wants the address, he wants the pin location. This contact, that contact. The person is going to Madina Munawwara, he didn't even get there. You must know now, where I can buy food there, who's cooking over there, who does laundry there, who does... Sometimes it's nice to know a little bit, but so much of figure. I'm not saying you can't carry food and all that. In fact, sometimes it's better to even carry your food and go, because on that side, things have become very questionable. People say, but how can you talk like that? The Muslim country, this. So now, if they're opening bars and they're opening cinemas and they're having music concerts and all that, things that are totally, totally haram, then what makes us now all of a sudden when it came to the meat, then there the taqwa level is going to be very, very high. All the other things we'll find fault with. Put ladies now to work in the airport, or ladies working in the hotels now. How can they have musical concert there in Saudi? How can all those things we find problem with? Only the chicken over there, now they got very high levels of taqwa and trust. So if somebody is carrying their food for that reason, that look, I don't know now what is the story there, I'd rather carry my own food and go, then I'm not doing that, no problem. If somebody is carrying their food because they say, I don't want to go stand in the queues and waste so much of time, I've got my food there in the room, I can just warm it up and eat it. No problem, that too is fine. But one Buzurg he mentioned very beautifully. He said, when you go to visit your parents' house, you go to visit somebody's house, you take your own food and now you're going there to Allah Pak's house, you're going there to the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you take your own food in there. But there's no fruit there. There's no dar there. There's no bread there. All those things are there. So, are you taking your own things and being? Everything, you know, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, one time he went to somebody's house. So they had prepared some, they're not expecting him to come. He just went impromptu. So they had prepared some simple meal on that particular day. And then they had something that was left over from the previous meal. So they told us that this one is freshly prepared today. And this one here is leftovers from yesterday. So Hazrat told him, no, give me that leftovers. That yesterday's leftovers, give it to me. And then he gave the reason. He said that yesterday's leftovers was prepared one day closer to the era of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we don't think like that. Because we don't have that love. We don't have that kind of love. Allah will give it to us. Mm-hmm. So, as I mentioned, that there was one Buzurg. He was returning from Hajj. And at the at the Hajj terminal, there were some delays. There was something wrong with their aeroplane or something, and now they were delayed there for a day. I think a day or 2 days or something they were delayed. I can't remember the duration, but a considerable amount of time they were delayed there. So eventually, when they got onto the flight and they returned to, I think it was India or something, when they got back home, they got to the village, now the whole group that had gone from there, so everybody was very, very upset. So when they got, now everybody is complaining to their family members, so I made us wait there, no place to sit. Whatever complaints they were giving, somebody is fighting with the agent, and somebody is fighting. So this Buzurg even saying anything. So people came to ask him, they said, but didn't you get any takleef there in the Hajj terminal? Everybody else is complaining. Didn't you get any takleef? Were you not in the Hajj terminal? Were you somewhere else? Were you not complaining? He said, no, it was in the Hajj terminal. He said, then how come you got no complaints? So he said, all the time we're making dua that we want to go to Harameen Sharif. Now we were leaving, and Allah Pak kept me for a day or two more closer to Harameen Sharifin. So what is there to complain about? So I was sitting there in the Hajj terminal. From one side the breeze is coming from Madinah Munawwara. From the other side the breeze is coming from Makkah Mukarramah. And in between I was sitting there and enjoying that. So what's there to complain about? Muhammad Ish talks a different language. It's a different thing. We can only hear the stories. Allah Ta'ala must bless us really with love, true love. Then life becomes something else. Life becomes something else. Then he mentioned Huzur Abdus sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَصَاحِبَاكَ فَلَا أَنْسَاهُمَا أَبَدًا مِنِّ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا جَرَى الْقَلَمُ. I will never forget your two illustrious companions, meaning Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, as long as the pen continues writing, may salutations and salams be conveyed to all of you. From me, may it be conveyed to you. So after reciting these beautiful words, in praise and honor of the Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the villager, he went out of the masjid, now he mounted his conveyance and he began to leave. So Muhammad Qutbi rahmatullah alayhi, he says, I was overcome with sleep. I sat there, I observed this villager coming, he made his salam and everything, and all of a sudden I was just overtaken with sleep. And when I fell off to sleep, I seen a vision. I was blessed with the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed me saying, oh Utbi, hasten towards that villager. Go to that villager and give him the glad tidings from my side that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven his sin. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven his sins. This is what Hazrat Muhammad used to say. There is, here at this Roza Mubarak, something happens. Something that is happening. We can't understand it. Something is happening. Sometimes the question arises that how come the villager never see the vision? Utbi rahmatullahi, Allah made him make ziyarat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving him the message to go and tell that villager that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven him. So Allah could have shown the villager the dream. Hazrat rahmatullahi explained that if Allah Ta'ala showed the villager the dream, then the kamal of that villager wouldn't have been known to us. he would have seen the dream, he would have kept quiet. What must have been his relationship with Allah Ta'ala? But by Allah Ta'ala showing Utbi Rahmatullah Alayhi the dream, now we too benefited from it. We too benefited. This few couplets of Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. ये सुबह मदीना ये शाम मदीना ये सुबह मदीना ये शाम मदीना मुबारक तुझे ये कयाम मदीना. Morning of Medina Munawwara, the evening of Medina Munawwara. How blessed is your stay here in Medina Munawwara. So, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, when you have to explain this, you say, what is the morning of Medina Munawwara? The morning of Medina Munawwara is the Tahajjud Azan. Azan goes Tahajjud time. And then you see the multitudes of people all just proceeding, going to the haram. Sometimes a person at home is finding difficulty to wake up for Fajr namaz. There he is waking up from before Tahajjud time. So many people are just proceeding, everybody is going. So that is the manzar a person sees in the morning of Medina Munawwara. The evening of Medina Munawwara is the same. People are all just going to the haram, going to make salam, some are going to read namaz, different types of ibadat, people are all proceeding. It is a scene of submission to Allah Ta'ala. Love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody just wants to get there. You see the love of the ummah, although we are weak. But a person now is told you must book on your nusuk, and they give you a time. Somebody is 1 o'clock in the morning, somebody 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody 3 o'clock in the morning, and the people are waiting in the lines. Midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, all waiting for what? Just waiting to get a chance, get into the Jannat ka tukra, Riyazul Jannah. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that if Allah Ta'ala gives us an opportunity to go to the Riyazul Jannah, then we must make dua to Allah Ta'ala. But Ya Allah, when somebody enters Jannah, then there's no chance of him coming out. If a person goes to Jahannam, a disbeliever goes to Jahannam, Allahumma khfazna, Allahumma khfazna, then that person remains there forever. A believer, sometime he can be put into Jahannam, Allah save us. But he will come out of Jahannam. He will just go there to get cleansed and come out of Jahannam. But Jannat, once a person goes in, there's no chance of him coming out. And nobody wants to come out from there. Person goes into Jannat and he stays there forever. When you admit somebody into Jannat, then there's no chance that person doesn't come out. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this area between my minbar and my house, this is a piece of Jannah. So you allowed me to come into this Jannah. Now don't take me out of Jannah. Put me into that Jannah. So everybody is proceeding in the submission of Allah Ta'ala, the ishq and love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bana jaane kya jaam umeen-e-alam tera kaif hai khush kharam-e-medina.
The people of the world, those who are, Allah Ta'ala save us, we don't look down on anybody. The people are caught up in the intoxicants, caught up with the wines. And the wine And the more rotten it is, the better. The more fermented. They just change the words. In actual fact, it's a rotten dream. They just change the words. So the more rotten it is, they say, no, the more it matures. The more rotten it becomes, so now the thing is more expensive. And they have more of a hit to the brain. Person gets more drunk. But that kind of drunk gives a person hangover, makes the person silly, foolish, all that. The same. The drink of Naninamu. The drink of the love of Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What a type of a drink that is. What a kefiyat it gives. Different experience the person has when a person goes to Manina.
Ye subah Medina, ye sham Medina, Mubarak tujhe qiyam Medina. Medine ki galiyon mein har ek qadam par mad-e-nazar ihtiram-e-Madina.
Person is walking in Medina Munawwara. Every moment he must be respecting the place. He must watch his eyes, watch his heart, watch his thoughts, what he's saying, what he's doing. Don't cause taklif to anybody. Our actions mustn't be an action of inconsideration. We must regard ourselves of being proud to be unworthy of being there. If a person goes through any type of difficulty, any, just regard it as a bounty. Regard it as a bounty. I was speaking to one alim who had just returned from Umrah. He was telling me that somebody was asking me, now where are you going to stay? I say, Maulana, what are you worried about where we're going to stay? As long as Allah Ta'ala just take us. Allah Ta'ala just take us. That alone is such a big ni'mat. We're not even deserving of that.
Medina, 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 Bara lutf deta hai naam-e-Medina.
I mentioned to you, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, once he was giving, he was reading this Ash'ar in Azadgarh. Then he mentioned, he said that everything about Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everything about Medina Munawwara is so beautiful, so wonderful. He said, just take the name Medina. He said, Medina, Medina. You just take the name Medina and it brings so much of joy to the heart. He said, now imagine you say Khauten. What? Or for that matter, KZN. You don't feel anything. You just say Medina. Medina. Although Medina, what's the meaning of Medina? Medina means city. There's no like some deep meaning to it or anything. But because when we say Medina, and that Medina is Medina to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, connected to Huzur Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anything that gets connected with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes special. So if we too want to become special, we must get connected with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anything that gets connected to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes valuable in the sight of Allah. That incident of Dai Hanima radiallahu anha, when she came with that camel, the camel couldn't keep up with the other camel. All the other camels, they all beat her. She was last. That's why all the other children were taken. Then eventually she had to take Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nobody wanted to take the recent amounts, right? Because the orphan child, they think, now where are we going to get paid here? But now she don't want to go back empty-handed, so she picked up Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What she knew, what she picked up. Now when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on that camel, now other camels couldn't keep up with that camel. Because that camel got connected with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not even informed of his nubuwwah. No ayat of the Quran Sharif came down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't teach one hadith as yet. Nothing. But just because the camel got connected with the jism of the baby, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, see what happened to that camel. That household got connected to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The animals are going out to graze. Coming back, the others are full. All other people's camp, goats and sheep, whatever, going out to graze. They're coming back, no milk, because it's drought time. They're asking her, which meadows you sending your goats to graze? See, same place where your goats are going to graze. But because that household got connected with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that household became special. By Halima radiallahu anha, every child knows about her. There's no history syllabus that doesn't have her name. Because she got connected with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the delay is from our part. Why are we not getting connected? We get connected to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then our tadbir also will get bulan. Because we are connected to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then what will happen?
निगाहों में तुम्हें कानियत है जो होगी जो पाएगा दिल में कयामे मदीना.
The kingdoms of this world will be zero. Nothing, rich. You mean nothing. The gold, the silver, uranium, platinum, diamonds, smart clothing, this label, brand label, that will all will be hedge. If Allah Ta'ala gave it, the person will make use of it. But he'd have no value for those things in his heart. I must be dressed like this, I must have that, I must be like this. All become hedge. Why? Because he got the message of Madina Munawwara. In his heart, he got the payam of Madina Munawwara. The payam of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
सुकून जहां तुम कहां ढूंढते हो सुकून जहां है निजामे मदीना.
Where are you looking for peace? Where are you looking for sukoon? You're looking for tranquility. Where? The sukoon of the entire world is in the system of Madina Munawwara. The Shariat in the Sunnah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. Forget our house. Forget our house. Forget our one business. Forget our one community. The whole world. Sukune jahan, the whole world. The peace of the whole world is in following the Shariat and the Sunnah. You know, I had two experiences today. Normally we only talk about bad things, right? We talk about some good things also. One person, this is not what happened today, I'm just saying. One person, he told me, he said, Maana, I've got one friend, he's a lawyer, and I've got one friend, is you, Maana. He said, both of you are, I make lot dua for you. Well, the only thing you'll hear is sad stories. Because the lawyers, people only go to them when they're in trouble. And the Moranas, people only go to them when they've got sad stories. So, today we've got some happy stories. You know? One brother, a few weeks ago, he came and the place where he's working, so they made effort on him. And he decided to accept Islam. So he came one time, he had one, two questions, whatever, and then after that he came and he took shahada. So last week, he phoned to say that, no, I'm coming on Monday for the program. I need a few minutes of your time. If you have no problem, sit with you after the program. Last week or the previous week. So I sat with him. Now look at his question. He's a new Muslim, right? New Muslim, but look at his question. He's telling me, he says, I had a girlfriend. So we're living together for 9 years. Now because I've become Muslim now, so she hasn't become Muslim, she's not interested, so I have to tell her to leave the house. She must come out of the house. But now when we took this place, she paid the deposit. Listen, Mu'amala. He says, she paid the deposit. I was paying the rent, I was buying the groceries, whatever. Sometimes she would club in with something, but I was like taking care of things. But she had paid the deposit. So now that she has moved out, Islamically, am I obliged to give her back that deposit? Do I have to give her back that deposit? And he's a poor person, not a rich man. The working class person. Yeah. And yet, we find people born Muslims, sitting with so much of money, not prepared to pay their accounts, not prepared. But this person only says, you are. But you know definitely if that money belonged to her, so you must return that deposit, give her the whatever amount she paid, you must give it to her. Then he tells me, he says, you know what, I have to move on now, but I'm finding it very hard. We were together for 9 years, and I know no real problem with her, but now, you know, I've chosen this path now, and she's not on the same path, but I'm feeling it hard, you know, feeling it hard. So I said, no, don't worry, you make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and told him a few things, and today his employer phoned me, saying, Mu'mana, this man's, that girl that he was dating, or who he was living with, wasn't dating, he was living with, they're non-Muslim, now what they know about jina and all that. So he's saying she came, and she also accepted Islam. She also accepted Islam. So I sent them both to the Jamiat office, to make their nikah, and to in the conversion forms and all that. Look at a person, how Allah Ta'ala sorted everything out for him. So that was one incident. One person passed away, so his son came to me, want to work out the estate matters. So by I'm no mahir in working out estates. This was a very simple one, straightforward one. So, came this way. The father, he didn't give like what we will call a formal will. But he left a book. And he left all the instructions in that book. Everything, where money is kept, where this is, who I'm owing, what this is happening, the car, what's the story, the house, what's the story, everything he wrote down. In about 5 pages in the book. So the son just has to follow the instructions there in the book. He tells me, we've just got one problem. He says, going through my father's things now in the office, trying to close the office up. And in one box, I found an amount of money. That money, he didn't tell me anything about it. There's nothing written in the book about that money. And it's a considerable amount of money. He said, now, I don't know whether it's a client's money or whose money it is. So I said, well, was there no name there? So he told me, there was one name, but I don't know who the person is. I said, tell me the name. So he told me the name, I said, that I know the person. But I knew his father. I said, I know the person, and I remember when your father passed away, that person told me that, you know, I was doing some work. That means he was doing some work with your father. So I know that person. Let me phone and ask you. That particular person, recently he just went through some major loss in his business. Right? And this is a good sum of money. So I phoned him up. I said, "Bhai, I got so and so here. In his father's office, this money has been found. This money got your name on it." Before I could finish my sentence, he tells me, "Maulana, that's his money." He said, "That's his money. He did some work for me, and I went and paid him that money, and he gave me the description to how the money was." And the son said, "Exactly like that." It was a few days before he passed away, I went and gave him the money. Now, this person could have just said, "Yeah, no, this money is owed to me." He could have said, "The money is owed to me." Who is there to see? Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala. It reminds you of that incident of the shepherd. He said, "No, just sell me one sheep." He said, "No, I can't sell it to you. It belongs to my owner." He said, "But your owner is not here." He said, "Ain Allah. Where is Allah? Owner may not be here, but where is Allah?" One person sold a property to another person. Sold a piece of land in the ummahs before. So that person now, he probably started to build a farm or whatever. So when he dug the land, he found one treasure, a whole lot of gold coins. So he pulled that thing out and he went to the person who sold it to him. He told him, "Bhai, this is yours. I bought the land. I didn't buy this treasure here. This is yours. If we found it, the finders keepers went. I bought the land. Everything in the land is mine." But this person even, he told, that person said, "Bhai, I sold you the land. The land and its contents. Don't come give me this thing. Now it's yours. You bought the land." Now imagine they're fighting not to take it. This one is saying, "No, you take it." That one is saying, "No, you take it." So now they went to the Qazi or the Nabi of the time. Either the Qazi or the Nabi of the time, they went to say, "This is the situation." So he asked him, he said, "You've got no children." That one said, "I've got a son." This one said, "I've got a daughter." He said, "Well, get your son married to your daughter and give them the money. You take your son, get married to that one's daughter, and give them." See this amanat bag. One incident mentioned. Conclude on this now. Too many incidents. One incident mentioned. One lady, her husband had taken a second wife. He didn't tell the wife anything. The wife is wife. She knows you for so many years. Somehow she came to find out, but the husband never tell her anything. But she came to know about it. So that wife was living in the next village, in another village. So occasionally he used to go to visit that wife, whatever agreement he had with her. This wife knew about it, the first wife, but because the husband never tell her anything, she just kept quiet. And she never mentioned it to anybody. But she knew. Now that man passed away. The husband passed away. So the whole estate is worked out. Now if a man got more than one wife, so those wives will all share from 1/8 of the estate. So if you got two wives, they'll have to share that 1/8, half half. If it is three wives, now you have to split it into three. Four wives, split it into four. So she knows about that wife, but the children didn't know anything, nobody knows anything. So she, they worked out the estate and gave her one eighth. Now you see her taqwa. So she took half of that 1/8. She wrote a note and sent somebody, not that any of the family, somebody else, to go and give that woman this amanat. So in there she wrote that, look, I know you are married to my husband. Okay. Now he has passed away. So I am in iddat, you two go into iddat. And this is your haq from the estate. So she sent that note to that woman. So after some time, that person came back with that parcel and with another note and gave it to the first wife. What was written in that note? That when Allah Ta'ala reward you for sending this thing and all that. And yes, I was married, but few months before he passed away, he had divorced me already. Some time before he passed away, he divorced me. I finished it for iddat. My iddat is over. So I'm not entitled to this money. Look at the honesty, the trustworthiness, honesty, amanatdari between people. Today was not ours also be fighting for. وہ آزاد اختر ہمیں دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ. That's how the poetry concludes. A person, if he really truly becomes a غلام, he really truly takes Allah Ta'ala as his Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his prophet, then he will be free from all the worries of this world. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا الله فقيب وسنز each and every sin of your قمته. يا الله فقيب each and every guna of ours. Forgive our parents, our asatizah, our shaykh. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah of our beloved Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our spouses, our children, those whose haqq is upon us, ihsan is upon us, those who have asked us to make dua for them, all the marhumeen, marhumat. Ya Allah, bless us all with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Bless us all with your love and the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us paabandh the shariat, make us paabandh the sunnat. Ya Allah, all the difficulties that the ummah is going through, Ya Allah, you come to the aid and the assistance of the ummah. Assist and help the ummah around the globe, especially in Gaza and all other places. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.